Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Here. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today as we are concluding a great two-part interview today. This is part two of a two-part interview with a good friend of our ministry, Tom Donnan. Now, you've heard Tom on this program several times. He's always bringing a revelation of current events tied to biblical prophecy just to make us aware of the day and time in which we live, which the Bible calls the end days. Amen. And everything we see, the congruence of everything happening together. You know, the news may talk about something happening over here, something else happening over there, and another thing happening over in this other place. But when you look at the total picture, these things all line up with biblical prophecy. Amen. And if you missed any of the prior episodes, you need to go back and listen to it and catch up, because we cover so much stuff that's happening right now, right before our very eyes. It's tied into Bible prophecy that nobody is putting it together. Very few people put it like that, but Tom is one of them. He's picked up on this stuff in the Spirit. He's been sharing it with you, and you need to go back and catch up. But today, we're going to jump into this as we're talking about all the major volcanic activity that is happening all around the world right now. Folks, this is real stuff that the Bible depicts in detail. Now, let's jump back into this interview now with Tom Donnan. We're talking about all of the volcanic activity, especially over in Iceland right now. Here's Tom Donnan.
Well, I've been keeping an eye on what's happening in Iceland. Now, my daughter and son-in-law a few years back had gone there on vacation and were enamored with Iceland. And so they have wonderful stories of their adventures. So it kind of like perks up whenever I see that. And the incredible story about Walter Mitty, where a lot of it is filmed in Iceland, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting. But they have something going on there with their earthquake, I mean with their volcano, that they have not experienced as far as technology has been used, where they have now had in the last week 20,000 earthquakes from 5.2 down to, you know, microquakes. And it all, most of it is located in one area, and they are expecting about an eruption to take place. Now, usually with them, their eruptions are rift eruptions, which are long breaks in the ground, and the lava starts spewing up. So they're anticipating any time now that is going to happen. Now, if you remember, the last time their volcano went off is that at the jet stream brought it right over Europe and southern Sweden and Norway. Yep. And billions of dollars were lost because they couldn't fly. The planes couldn't fly.
That's right. That's right. You can't fly through rocks in the sky.
Doesn't
work too well.
No. So this is just a few of the volcanoes that are popping off, and the ones in Indonesia have been getting pretty serious. Now, in our own backyard, not in America, although they've been having some earthquakes in the Washington, Oregon area, but down in the Caribbean, the St. Vincent Island, they have a lava dome that's been pushing up slowly, but they know that it is on the increase, and it's got them a little nervous because the island is populated. And the volcano is at the north end, which isn't populated. So one-third of the island is like volcanoes. So, but if it's a massive eruption, what are you going to do with the other two-thirds? Yeah. You know, it's not like you can just get in a car and drive to the next island. You're in trouble.
Yep, exactly, exactly. And I remember when you talk about Iceland, I remember reading that they named it Iceland so that people wouldn't go there. They go, oh, ice is cold, I don't want to go there. And they named Greenland, which is desolate, Greenland, because they wanted people to come there. You know? I remember that from high school. But so back when they had parchment paper. But but there's other weird things that science is doing right now, all in an effort to help mankind, you know, survive all this climate change that is being forced on the environment because people don't care, you know. And I've seen where they're now starting to experiment on creating a certain kind of, I guess you call a hybrid humanoid combination with animal type breed. You know, I guess they're looking at taking the best from each or something and creating a new species of man that will survive because of everything going on. Gee, you know, what do you think, Todd? I wonder what could go wrong with something like that. You know,
yeah, definitely.
Did you see anything in your research on that stuff?
Yeah, that was one of those programs where I was watching Tom Horn, and he was on a program, and it was three parts. And, of course, you know, once you start getting into this stuff, which is like new territory, you know, you're going to dig into part two and three because you want to know all the facts. And, of course, it's almost too scary to what the accomplishments that have been taking place that are behind the scenes, because nobody really wants to come out and say, oh, yeah, we're blending humans and animals, mm-hmm. No, in different ways. They want to create a superhuman. You know, somebody who has the strength to be able to move in battle and be able to have longevity. You know, they don't want to ever die, so maybe they can splice genes and stuff like that to be able to have longevity in human beings. And Tom Horn was talking about this, and then it became how they know that they can change with just a liquid the DNA in human beings. You drink this vial, and it goes in there, and it changes the DNA, and it does stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, this sure does sound like the times of Noah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you have these, what do they call them, the Nephilim? Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. There's a combination of spiritual and human beings that created a race that was different. And God, what did God say? Oh, this has gone too far.
Yep.
This has gone too far. Yep. So this, we get back to the end times, right?
Yeah.
And so we're getting to the point where, what do you think God's going to say? Okay, yeah, just go ahead. No, I think he's going to say, oh, they're going too far.
Yeah, they're trying to be God, you know?
Well.
You know? And it's just not, you know, I mean, I remember back, gosh, this is 20, 25 years ago, I guess, when they first came out with this, they cloned a sheep and the big uproar, you know? And you know, now they're doing, you know, cloning this and cloning that, trying to, you know, oh, we haven't made babies, wink, wink, you know, type thing that they're not telling you about. But, but today they're even trying to interface your brain with the internet.
Oh, gee.
You know, I guess to make it easier to play video games in your mind or something, but that's all I need is for the government to be able to hack my mind. I mean, oh. Did you see that?
Dad, my first thought is, oh, this is going a bit too far, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, I have enough troubles with the thoughts that I got in my head right now. You know, yeah. So if you got something that's going to interface with the internet through this, and you have all this information. Hey, okay, so let me deviate a little bit. I was having conversations with people in the past when I was in the workforce, and now that I'm retired, but now that I'm in the workforce, the technology enables you to have more information than I think your brain can handle.
Yeah.
So if you have the information, you should be able to do the work, but the information enables you to do so much work that the human being cannot keep up with the information. And so, therefore, burnout takes place, and it's like I put my hand to my head, and I say, I can't take this no more. But your boss is calling you saying, how come you haven't fixed it? And I said, well, I can't find the information. And he says, well, Tom, it's in the book, the manual, right? Okay, the elevator's broken down. He says, Tom, it's in the book. But I said, boss, I said, the book is 3 inches thick. You know, help me a little bit here. So the thing is that technology, can you imagine if it's all available? I don't think the circuitry in our mind is ready for that kind of exposure.
No, not at all. I mean, it'd be one thing if you just, okay, I'm going to do this so I can beat everybody I play at chess, you know. But to have your mind, I mean, just think, back when we were growing up, there was like, you know, three channels, ABC, NBC, and CBS, right? And every now and then you'd be able to pick up one of them UHF channels maybe, right? Now there's what, 400 channels on, you know, DirecTV. How many of those 400 have you actually watched?
Exactly.
You still tend to stay with maybe your favorite five. We'll even expand it to five, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, why are we having 400 channels, you know? And imagine if it was a requirement that, oh, you watched enough of this channel, now you're going to switch to this channel.
Oh.
And they're forcing you to do it.
Oh.
And that's what I could just see the government doing with your brain, like, okay, you've thought about this enough. We're going to turn your brain off now. Click, you know.
Oh.
Is that going to make you go take a nap? Or,
yeah.
Or suddenly you're going to think about, you know, I think I'll give the government an extra $2,000 of my money this month.
What the heck, right?
Just donate it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what are they going to do with controlling those thoughts?
Where does it begin and where does it go?
Yep, exactly.
It's usually what happens is that they try it and then they try to figure out where is it going and then they adjust things from there. But I can't see it being working out any way good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be the volunteer.
Uh-uh. I'm sure they've already got volunteers, you know, that have. I mean, think about the guys back in World War II era that, you know, well, we're medical experiments, you know, volunteers, yeah. And they're shooting them up with LSD and all this other stuff, you know? And,
yeah.
I mean, it cannot end good, no matter what you come up with.
For many people, it didn't end good.
Yeah, amen.
So our freedom to be able to live in, to enjoy our life is changing on a rapid pace because of the social engineering is telling us what they want us to accept and believe. And I think that's part of the reason, like we were talking about earlier, is I wind up turning off those main channels
mm-hmm.
because I'm thinking, geez, this just doesn't represent me anymore. This isn't fun to watch.
Yep.
And what is it? Sometimes I think to myself, I'm offended by some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I wind up turning off the cable, right? 400 channels and nothing to watch. What's with that?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. I used to like watching sports, but even that's gotten socially cultural sensitive or something,
yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just ridiculous anymore. You know, but we could never end our conversation without venturing out into the heavenlies. I mean,
ooh.
The Bible's very explicit that in the end days there will be signs in the heavens. And we've talked about the coming Apophis asteroid that this is supposed to be an extinction level event. Even if it misses us, like we talked about before the recording, you know, the cloud of asteroids in its tail will have significant impacts all over the Earth. And I mean, the main asteroid is 1 mile across, you know, and smaller fragments that are traveling with it will be smaller. But
yeah.
There was a meteor that exploded over Vermont just a couple days ago, the size of a bowling ball, which isn't very big at all. They said it had an explosive force of 400 plus pounds of TNT. I mean, you know, we need more time to talk about this asteroid
yeah.
and stuff like that. But did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It was fascinating. Of course, that always brings me back to the American Meteor Society. And I go into what's called the fireball log. And I want to see what the average is, because you and I have talked about this in the past, where a decade ago, there might have been, 300 to 400 fireballs per year. Well, now it's getting to the point where I just looked it up. The average for January, February was up over 100 fireballs. Mm-hmm. So they're shooting, what was it? It was about an average of 500 a month last mm-hmm. year. Now it's over 600 a month. No, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? And I tell people, I think we're moving into an area of space where there's more debris.
Yeah,
as we're moving
exactly.
through the cosmos.
Yep, and I heard one of the shows that you and I follow. He had a guest on talking about, you know, the Earth just doesn't rotate around the sun. Okay, the sun is actually pulling us through the galaxy. And we're rotating around a moving, you know, think of it if you're juggling inside your car while traveling down the highway. You're just juggling, but those balls are also traveling 60 miles an hour down the highway, right? And
yeah.
That's what's happening with the Earth and our solar system was we're being drug along through the galaxy. And this expert said that scientists have observed what appears to be like a 200 million mile long cloud that our solar system is about to pass through, of cloud of debris, asteroids and things like that. And it's going to take us like 4 or 5 years to pass through this cloud and come out the other side. But we're already starting to hit the outer skirts of this cloud. And
wow.
He said that's why you see this increase in these asteroids being sucked into the gravitational pull of the Earth. You know, and again, you know, that all goes to what we were talking about. But, you know, we need more time to discuss this. We might do a show just on this. But, you know, with the Apophis asteroid, you know, they talk about, well, it's going to miss us, you know, so you don't have nothing to worry. It'll miss us by 7,000 miles or something like that. You know, geosynchronous satellites are 25,000 miles up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's not very far. 7,000 miles up is not very far, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, NASA, when they first announced the Apophis asteroid, said, oh, this is going to impact the Earth on this date, and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, they started catching a lot of flack, so within 2 weeks they had revised their estimate. Oh, it's going to miss us. Don't worry about it, right? But the changing stories that NASA's giving and what the possible truth is, what's going to happen in just a few years, you know, that's something I think needs its own discussion. But I want to wrap up today. Let's talk about helicopters for a minute. Since we're talking about space, there's a new helicopter that is on the planet Mars right now. I mean, did you see this story?
Man, oh, man. You know, what happened with the Tower of Babel, right, is that God came down and he said, we have to confuse their language because whatever they put their mind to, they can achieve.
Yeah.
Well, gee, we got a helicopter on Mars.
On Mars.
You know, on Mars. And so the fascinating part was that I have been scouring it, looking for photographs from this thing, and I finally came across the thing that it's just taken telemetry. It's going over the surface and it's gathering telemetry, and it's been doing that for some time. It's only a 90-second flight because that's what the battery will hold, is enough energy to be able to lift it up and move it to another location. And then it sends back the telemetry, and they have devised this because there's what, only 1% atmosphere of like the Earth, but they still have created this thing, and it's only 4 pounds. Can you believe it? We talked about this like 7 months ago, saying that they're getting ready to launch this, and now it's there.
Yeah, amen, amen. And, you know, they say it's only 4 pounds, but you know, I want to know who the pilot is. You know, Mickey Mouse or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, basically it's a drone. You know,
yeah.
One of these helicopter drones like we see here. You know?
Yeah.
And that 90-second flight, I don't know if it's so much for the battery power as it would be it takes 30 minutes to get the transmission back to Earth, right? So if it's flying into the face of a mountain, and stop it. It takes 30 minutes. And the image we just seen was 30 minutes old. And then you're telling, land, and it goes 30 minutes back. You know, it's way too late. So I think they're like, what is a safe direction to go? Okay, let's go 90 seconds and let it go over there, land again. And then, you know, here comes the images. Okay, that was close. It almost hit that boulder.
Yeah. We didn't spend all this money sending it that far for it to crash, right?
Yeah. So they're like, what's within the seeing distance we can safely fly to, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the 90-second purpose. They don't want to go let it get too far. I mean, some little Martian out there with his own radio control device and all of a sudden it interferes with that and it just starts flying off in a different direction. They wouldn't know about it for an hour.
Yeah, that's true. And then it comes back to taking for granted this whole thing about going to Mars. No, because first of all, you got to have the rocket that has to launch and not explode. And then you have to get it into a trajectory that is going to be intercepting Mars in its position. It's months away, and then come into an orbital cycle so that it can be deployed. And then it has to land on there without crashing and burning, you know, and then it has to work. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Amen.
Everything, you know, and it does.
Yep. Amen. And like I said, when we first went to the moon, everyone thought that was just amazing. Well, that was, you know, that's like a stone's throw away. You know, you're talking like you're going to ride your bicycle to China. Type of thing. that's an endeavor just to get there.
Exactly. And we are now taking it for granted because it's commonplace because we have succeeded at it before.
Yep, exactly right.
What man can conceive, he is now producing. That's a scary thing.
It is. It really is. Just like the thing with the brain implants and the internet and all that stuff. If you can conceive it and they design a way to do it, how are they going to use it? That's the big question.
Amen. Yeah, so we know how that usually goes.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that we're living in the last of the last days. I mean, there's even preparations right now to build the next temple, the third temple in Jerusalem. I mean, this is amazing. How will they know where to put the Holy of Holies? I mean, they want to get that part right if the Israelis are going to build this temple and all the flack they're going to get for doing it. They want to make sure that they're in the right spot. I mean, they could go to Jamaica and build a third temple if they want. Nobody would probably say anything about it, but they want it on the Temple Mount, right?
Yeah.
How are they going to know where to do that?
Yeah, there's been some research that has been going on by the name of his first name is Christian, and I can't remember his second name, but he had written a book. He decided that he was going to look into it and do the research because he was an engineer and he would see the evidence and the signs. So he started doing the research and then went over there and started to say, well, wait a minute, this right here does line up with the Golden Gate.
Yep.
And so, therefore, he extrapolated a lot of information and said, okay, here's where the Holy of Holy was, right there, offset to the Dome of the Rock, because you can't build a temple. I mean, it would have to be some kind of miraculous thing where somebody came in and said, okay, you can go ahead and do this, because that would be beyond word capabilities, right? So, but they know where it's at, and they know where the location is at, and so, therefore, they said that they can build this thing very quickly. Mm-hmm. 6 to 12 months with our crane ability, you know, they can put this stuff together. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. You're telling me that the second temple or the next temple could be built in 12 months? Mm. And wow, that's another huge tell of the times that we're in.
Yeah. And from the research I've seen on it, that's to build the temple. But if they get permission to institute their sacrifice and all that, they can have a tabernacle up on the Temple Mount in like 3 hours' time.
Yeah, they're ready for it.
3 to 6 hours. They got everything ready. All they say, okay, well, you can go ahead and build your temple. We'll give you permission to do what you need up there. They can deploy a tabernacle and begin the daily sacrifices within 3 to 6 hours.
Wow. Yeah. And then one other thing that kind of fits into there, anybody who has done some looking into this would know that they need the pure red heifer. The ashes of the pure red heifer, right? And so for a long time that they have been trying to breed a pure red heifer, and they got two candidates right now, and one of them is to the extent where it has four white hairs, just four white hairs, and it's not the two-year-old stage, and they think that if it turns, those four hair turned red, okay, they got their candidate. But it goes to show you just how close all of these things are. They're converging. This stuff is all converging.
Yeah, we talked about that before, the convergence factor. All these signs are happening right now.
Yes. You know? Yes,
before,
get ready.
It was like,
Jesus.
Well, this had happened, don't worry about it. This happened, that don't, you know. Oh, it rained. Okay, well, don't worry about it. Well, there was a tornado. Okay, well, don't worry about it. Oh, there's a hurricane. You know, the rain, the thunderstorms, the tornadoes. Oh, all these things are happening simultaneously. It must be a hurricane. You know, I mean, so you can see this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. Individually, no big deal, but when they all start converging at the same spot in the same time, you got something going on. You just got to be wise enough to understand it.
Exactly. And so this is why we like to try to shake people. We try to shake them to say, hey, look at all of this information is available for you to be able to see that the return of Christ is coming quickly. Yeah. And then there are those, I think his name is Pastor Jimmy Evans, that is talked about eschatology all the time. And he says, there's nothing in front of the rapture. There's nothing that needs to be done for the rapture to take place.
Exactly.
And then there would be a vast acceleration of events taking place. And so the thing, I talk to people all the time, and they think, well, I'm in a good place. Well, what virgin are you? Are you the one with extra oil, or are you the one that doesn't have the oil? Yeah. You know, because there's no time like now to make sure that you are on fire for God. Be passionate. There's no lukewarmness. This lukewarmness stuff is going to leave you behind.
Yep, exactly. You know, I mean, we definitely need to pray for revival. I mean, not just in America, but a worldwide revival. You know, we need revival in America. Oh, good Lord, we need revival in America.
Oh, yeah.
A good old-fashioned revival like the old tent revivals. Amen?
Amen. Yes, which brings us to another good point, and that is prophecy. There's a link on there with a prophecy from a gentleman who said that a number of years ago, an angel had come to him and said that the next revival would be tent revivals. Mm. Now, the reason that they're saying this is because people are so disillusioned by church, the church building, a church denomination, that they are more readily available to go into a tent. Now, down in Tennessee, there is a ministry down there that has been using tent revivals, so it's already in effect. And there is a ministry in California who has just ordered the biggest tent ever made for tent revivals.
Would that be Murray O'Marillo?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. I follow. He's one of the guys I follow. Amen.
Yeah. And so they're getting into this. As a matter of fact, in my local area, there is a church that has been tossing around this idea of having a tent revival, not knowing all this other information. It's just the Holy Spirit stirring them. So things are gearing up for people to be able to come, and it will flow over, because once they start coming, you won't have a tent big enough. Amen. And that's where we're getting excited, because we want to see people saved. We want to see them on fire for God. We need that.
Yep. Well, let's be careful now, because you got this COVID situation. We can only have 20% capacity in that tent.
Yeah.
They'll come up with some stupid rule to try and limit it.
Are you stirring the pot again?
I try. Especially since we're talking about California,
Yeah, weird things happen there.
You ain't lying. But praise the Lord. Tom, we're about out of time. Man, time goes so fast.
Again.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you, maybe to ask a question or maybe ask you to do an interview like we just did, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
They can reach me by my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. Amen. And folks, golly, it is so important for you to get right with the Lord. I mean, as he said, you can say, well, I'm good. I'm born again. I'm saved. Are you really? Without reading your mail or checking up on you, when's the last time you've been to church? How many times in 1 year, even when things were open, do you go to church? The statistics say in the United States, there was a point in time when it was like 70, 80% of the people went to church every Sunday. Now, only 15, 20% of the Christians go to church every Sunday. And actually, I think it's less than that. Well, it is now because of the virus situation and all that. But the point being, going to church doesn't save you. Okay, I want to make it sound like it does. Going to church does not save you. What saves you is your personal relationship with Jesus. That's it. Now, if some of the things we've talked about today has sparked your thinking, if some of the things we talked about today has made you wonder, like, wow, all this stuff makes sense. I wonder if I'm really saved. Tom, would you lead them in a prayer to help them take that step towards the throne of grace and mercy?
Wow, what an honor. Thank you very much. So for the listener, let's pray. Dear Father God, I want to thank you for your son Jesus and the work he did on the cross. By shedding his blood, he paid the price for all of mankind's sin. I want to tell you, Father, I am a sinner. I am sorry for the pain my sins have caused Jesus and you. Please forgive me. Now I invite you to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. If you prayed that prayer with Tom, email him. Use the link down below to email. Let him know, hey, I heard you on the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, and I prayed that prayer with you. Email me, brotherbob@ftfm.org. Use the contact form on the website. We want to rejoice with you, because this was an important step for your eternity. Praise God. It just wasn't today. This is something that would affect you forever. Tom, I want to thank you again for your time coming back on the program. Man, I look forward to our conversations all the time.
It's been a joy. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it seems as though there's never a loss for information, is there?
Oh, I know.
To talk about, I mean.
The information age.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. We were just talking about that. But maybe we can get an implant into people's minds that make them receive Jesus as their Savior.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Tom Dunn and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.